He's back on the hot seat with us, the Minister of Health for the province of Alberta, Minister Tyler Shandro, talking on the budget. Minister, welcome back. Great to have you on again.
Thanks for having me back.
All right, awesome. So I guess the first question is that, Minister, one of the big things that we talked about last week, obviously you couldn't spill too much of the beans heading into the provincial budget announcement, but obviously a lot of big things announced. One key announcement that I really want to get into on that is the $1.25 billion COVID contingency fund. That is a lot of money, and obviously I think people don't realize that we need it. So my question is, how far and wide is the scope of that in terms of what would qualify as a COVID expense under this program?
It's as wide as it can get. Anything related to COVID has an opportunity to be funded then through this budget line item. We just found that our response to the pandemic has had to be as flexible as possible. So I think that's why Treasury Board and the Minister of Finance made the decision to fund this in the contingency line item so that we can continue to have that flexibility. There's just so many different types of responses that need to get funded through different ministries, and so that's given us that the biggest amount of flexibility.
All right, and also in saying that, well, I know one of the things, and you and I, Minister, talked about this, and that is the fact that there are surgeries that are being postponed, and I know in some provinces is actually pretty bad, but from what understanding in terms of Alberta, two questions on that. Number one, can the COVID contingency fund help at least with some of those surgeries that maybe aren't COVID related but have been affected or postponed by COVID? And number two, do you believe that at the very least, the other second question on that is, what would be like the normal surgery volume at recently? Because we do understand that there's a bit of a backlog, but is it really bad?
Well, a fantastic question. So yes, it could be if we needed to catch up on any further backlog. We did see in the spring of 2020 going down to about like the worst we had gotten in the spring was about 40% of our pre-COVID surgical capacity. You know, comparing to Ontario, they went down to 10%. So we were never as bad as other provinces. We always kept as much surgery as we could throughout the spring, and we caught up, I think, about 90% of anything that was, a backlog procedure in the spring through the summer. We caught up on about 90% of those. If we have more that's a backlog, absolutely could be funded through that COVID contingency budget item. Absolutely, we could do that. I think we usually see about 285,000 surgeries in a given year. Scheduled surgeries, that is, not the emergency ones, but the scheduled ones. And we're going to do our best to make sure that we're keeping at least on par, despite the pandemic, on what we've had in previous years, with the goal still to invest in our AHS operating rooms and invest in more surgeries being done in a more innovative way so we can have more volume, so we can get to actually 150% of our pre-COVID surgical capacity by the time we get to the next election.
Okay, well, that's definitely quite a big jump up. I definitely appreciate the explanation on that. And also something that you had a chance to personally announce yesterday along with the Premier is Stage 2. And it goes to show that, I mean, originally we wanted to be, the suggestion was that it needed to be on a floating average of 450 hospitalizations or less. That is dropped quite a bit below that. So would you, at least fair to say, is this a little better than you expected at this time, or did you not have any expectations, I guess, when you're dealing with COVID?
Our hospitalizations, I think, are better than we had hoped, which is great news. I think the difficulty, though, we also have to also be looking, you know, hospitalizations, that's a lagging indicator. It takes a couple weeks for someone to actually realize that they have COVID, to get tested, to isolate, and then maybe even another couple of weeks before they would end up being in a hospital bed. So that's a definite lagging indicator. We also have to look at increases in our positivity rate, increases in our case numbers, so we can continue to make sure that we don't see concerns as we're easing these measures. We did see increases in our cases over the last couple of weeks,
right.
But we're still pleased that we can responsibly and smartly proceed with most of step two despite these increases.
And I know one of the things that I'm sure a lot of business owners at least have been making clear to the government is that they would like some opportunities to more and mainly, gyms and things like that. And now I guess some people now can have an opportunity there to get in a low-intensity workout under the right circumstances, which from what I understand, just to be clear on that, there was no, you couldn't do that in stage one, but I believe in stage two, at a limited capacity, low-intense workouts are permitted, right?
But you could do it at step one, but you needed to have a trainer with you. And so now we're saying if it's low intensity, you don't need that trainer with you. You can you still need it for a high intensity workout, have that trainer working with you, keeping that 3 meters distance still though. But for low intensity group, that can happen, and low intensity doesn't need a trainer anymore. That's the biggest difference. We just get, for these businesses, letting them have the opportunity to get more patrons into the door, more people getting back out. We know that fitness is a great way for us to keep our mental health, and we all know that COVID's definitely had an effect on our mental health over the last year.
Yeah, that's a very fair statement, no doubt about that. Also, as well, at least in terms of the budget, and I mean, obviously the big topic is the $1.25 billion COVID contingency fund, but I know one of the things that you had mentioned talking about is post-pandemic planning, and still several hundred million dollars available for other things. What are other aspects in the budget that you as minister are excited about?
Well, funding more continuing care spaces. We've received a huge amount of proposals for new spaces that don't need any capital grants from us. We are going to be announcing this ASLE program that the PC government used to have, that NDP canceled. We're bringing it back, and we're going to be proceeding with that for some of the places that need the capital grants so we can have more spaces. We know that we're going to need it with the baby boomers. As I mentioned, the surgical initiative, that's going to need for 50% more surgeries year over year after the pandemic's done for us to catch up and get our wait times down to, for most surgeries, down to 4 months, which is going to be an astronomical change, way better than any other province.
Right.
But it is going to need more funding. But those are probably the top two that I'm most excited about.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And also as well, and I had a chance because obviously one of our MLAs up here, Peace River MLA, Dan Williams, has been working alongside you, of course, with the end-of-life hospice palliative care. And we see he's all over the place from all the way up north to the Crete. Saw a post of him in Canmore not too long ago. They're maybe 1 or 2 kilometers apart, so I guess he's really making the rounds. And just out of curiosity, I know we can't get into specifics yet, but how much learning and interesting proposals are you finding out there for that money that you had budgeted back in September, and in terms of like where all palliative care could go from here?
No, that's a fantastic question. Yeah, isn't he a hard worker? He's one of the hardest workers that we have as a colleague, so I'm so proud to be working with this guy. He is all over the province, and I don't actually have the proposals from him yet. I am looking forward to him. He connects with me every once in a while, just gives me a little bit of an update on what he's thinking and what I should be expecting. I think he's going to end up tabling his proposals to us in maybe next month. I think it's in April. He'll be giving us his report. Really looking forward to it because you're right. Yeah, he's just been everywhere, meeting with everyone. And so I'm looking forward to that report from him.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I guess as things do continue to kind of ease up a little bit, because we know there's like variants out there and other things and whatnot, is there always a little bit of concern that as restrictions are eased, that a case count could spike again? But I guess at the end of the day, as more people are vaccinated, I'd like to think that risk would be minimized.
It is a race against the variants right now with the vaccines. So it would have been nice if we had the vaccines we were told we'd get from the feds in February. We didn't get that. So now that it's been delayed a month, we're getting them. Hopefully, we're not going to have any disruptions in March, knock on wood. But it is a race with the variants. We are seeing our cases go up. Thankfully, we've seen our outbreaks in continuing care drastically be diminished. That's not to say we still don't have people in hospitals. And in hospital beds for COVID, we don't still see deaths from it. But our focus has always been making sure that the system doesn't become overwhelmed. And I think giving us an opportunity to see that three-week window of data from step one, and as we move forward for step two, I think it's going to be really instructive as well in how we and when we can get then into step three and step four.
Awesome. Now, I know as well, one thing that we had kept an eye on, and then over scanning the budget, I guess it's one where yours and maybe Infrastructure Minister Panda's file kind of come together, and that is a maternity and community care clinic in the community of Lacrete. And in talking about that, we know that that's something there, and I guess the exciting thing about that is that I remember MLA Williams was telling me stories about how, well, yeah, it may say high level on some birth certificates, but could easily well as say for many a Highway 697.
Right.
And I'm sure you probably heard those stories from Dan yourself. And in saying that, how important is it for that community? Because, I mean, in one sense, we were talking about the baby boomers, and now here we are talking about a very fast-growing community. And I guess, would you just say this is a case of just making sure that a growing community has growing infrastructure and services?
That's exactly it. And it's something that Dan's mentioned to me. Well, shoot, even before I was Minister of Health, he would talk to me about the issues in Lacrete and the lack of maternity care. And as well, there's just, I think this is an opportunity for us with this birthing center to also increase the amount of primary care that we can provide to the community, which
All
is going to
right.
be fantastic. Help with those newborn mothers and some of the complex issues that they might see with their newborns. And so I think the birthing center is fantastic. Dan's been pushing for this for a really long time. Glad to have worked with him to be able to pitch to Treasury Board that this was something that needed to get funded. And looking forward to this well having ground broken and get them digging and hopefully having that built as quickly as possible.
Yeah, hopefully some details will come available on that in the near future. And also as well, we know last week, and I guess because now it's in front of the AMA, I'm not sure how much you could say about it, but obviously that's a huge announcement last week. We know that there's been a contentious situation between the government of Alberta and the Alberta Medical Association, but I guess was there like at least a little bit of a relief that an agreement's been made? But from what I understand, the doctors still have to ratify it.
Yeah, so I have to be respectful of them. It's going to go first. There's two steps. First, to they call it the rep forum. They have a lot of representatives that are elected by the physicians who meet twice a year in the fall and the spring at a rep forum, they call it. And so they're going to have a special rep forum just to review and discuss the tentative agreement that we've had approved by the board of the AMA and the executive of the AMA. So it's up to that rep forum first, and then it'll go to a vote with the physicians. And I look forward to having another positive announcement with the AMA soon once their membership have had a chance to review it.
All right, fantastic. Thank you for that explanation. And now, as we kind of go on the personal side here, Tyler, I'm looking out the window. We're starting to see plus temperatures here, and I guess the concerning thing is that yeah, it's nice it's warming up, but that also means that I'm not that the skiing opportunities are limited, and they're going to be limited, which is a little bit of a downer. But now, at least in Calgary, you're going to have a chance to get out there. You think, as busy as you are, to maybe blaze down the slopes and see if you can beat any races?
I don't think any downhill in the near future. I think we might try going to wind sport this weekend with the kids. No, it's been amazing weather. Again, today, I think it was another bluebird day here in Calgary. So at least getting out with Andrew, my wife, and walking with the dogs and enjoying some of the sun that we can. We can, the only opportunities we have to see friends and families in outdoor gatherings. So in groups of no more than 10, seeing folks outside in North Glenmore Park here in Calgary. So looking forward to that this week. And we've had a lot of birthdays in our family in March, so I'm looking forward to seeing some folks this weekend.
Actually, now that you're mentioning it too, there's two birthdays this week in my family alone that I have to acknowledge. So thank you for reminding me. But I should say on that note, I did remember, guys. I technically did remember. Minister, we always appreciate you taking the time to check in with us. Thanks.
Great. Great talking again.
This is Minister Tyler Shandro. He is the Minister of Health for the province of Alberta. We'll speak with him again next week, and this is another edition of The Hot Seat.